Listen to their screams. 200 episodes. That's incredible. Congratulations, guys. Dave, Ike, you guys are amazing. When I first started listening to horror movie podcasts, like probably 2 years ago, yours was one of the first ones that I came across. And I've still been a listener since then. You guys are so good. You do a great job. The episodes are not only informative, but you also keep them entertaining and funny. And, you know, just like you say, it does feel just like you're chatting with friends. So congratulations again on 200 episodes. It's fantastic. I'm looking forward to 200 more. Keep it up. You guys are doing absolutely amazing. Congratulations.
What's up? Listen to their Screams podcast. This is Anthony Cousins, and I'm congratulating you on your 200th episode. That's massive.
Hey, listen to their Screams podcast. Congratulations on 200 episodes. That's a huge milestone. Us over here at Well Adjusted Horror haven't quite even reached 100 yet. So maybe that says you guys are twice as good. Maybe that says you guys are twice as prolific, if I'm being a little humble. Congratulations on 200 episodes, and can't wait to hear 200 more.
Hey Dave, this is BA from Sloppy Seconds. Congratulations on your bicentennial, and may everyone listen to their screams for another 200 episodes.
Hey guys, this is John from the Dewey Pod Monster Podcast. I just wanted to drop in and say congratulations to Dave and Ike on hitting your 200 episodes. It's an amazing achievement. A lot of us don't even get to 200. Feels like it takes a long time to get there, but it's totally worth it. So you guys have a great show. Looking forward to what comes next.
Hey, Ike. Hey, Dave. This is David from Black Flag. I just wanted to say congratulations on reaching 200 episodes of your podcast, Listen to Their Screams. As a personal fan, a lifelong fan of horror movies, I think that you're doing the Lord's work or the devil's work, but keep it up.
This is Jeremy from the Epic Film Guys podcast. I just wanted to wish all the best and many congrats to Listen to Their Screams for celebrating their 200th episode. Woo! Hell yes! Crack open an expired Hi-C Ecto-Cooler juice box and a super expired Hostess Ninja Turtle pudding pie to celebrate. And always remember, keep it creepy, dudes. Congrats on reaching 200 episodes.
Greetings from Tromaville, I'm Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment, creator of the Toxic Avenger. I've made many bombs, and I'm going to celebrate the 200th episode of Listen to Their Screams. Blow it up! Bomb!
Remember, in the course of discussing movies, the host will spoil plots. You've been warned. Listen to their screams.
Greetings, ghouls and creeps, and welcome to Listen to Their Screams, a horror podcast that feels like you're chatting with friends. And this is a very special episode, as this is our 200th episode. And if you're listening to this, you heard at the top of the podcast, lots of congratulations for us on the 200th episode. But once again, 200 episodes, I am one of your hosts, one of your friends, Dave. We're joined as always by our other friend, Ike. Ike, happy 200th episode.
Happy 200 episode. Happy to be here.
And, 200 episodes, we had the congratulations at the top. But otherwise, it's just business as usual. We're still doing our thing. Sure. So, and what we are doing today is we are reviewing two movies. We're catching up. We're reviewing Backrooms and Exit 8. Before we get to all of our news and the reviews, Ike, did you watch anything else this week?
Oh boy. Honestly, since we last recorded, I have been mostly watching Criminal Minds. And other than that, really nothing too crazy, just the standard and staying up on From. From is almost over. I'm kind of sad about that. I got a couple more episodes before the series is or the season's over. Other than that, I'm still just rocking and rolling. Nothing too crazy on my end.
Yeah, me neither. So yeah, see, nothing special for the 200th episode. I couldn't even chime in with something I watched this time, so be it. No, I again, I am just enthralled, just in depth enthralled with my Star Trek watch through. I'm into
That's right.
Deep Space Nine right now, and it's taking all my time, and I'm very much enjoying it. So everybody give me some grace on that, because that ties up a lot, all my time, all my extra time. So, well, all right then, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll have our news and birthdays and all that fun stuff. So stick around.
Make sure you subscribe to listen to their screams on your favorite podcast platform. Also, make sure you look us up on social media. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Letterboxd, TikTok, and Slasher. All you have to do is look up Listen to Screams, that is Listen, the number two in Screams, and you can find us there. Also, make sure you go and buy yourself a Listen to Their Screams t-shirt. You can find all of our shirts at tinyurl.com/screamsshirts.
Spread the news. Spread the news. Spread the news.
And welcome back with the news. All right, folks, we got some good stuff available for you on video on demand. Starting us off the top here, a movie that we reviewed not too long ago. We have Hokum, now available video on demand. We kind of anticipated that this would eventually pop on the video on demand. It did all right in box, but I think it'll do really good on streaming. And as always, a great commendation for the streaming service process and the whole system around that. These movies really do move quickly to streaming. But yeah, this is always a good time. Be something good for people to watch over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. We again, like you said, reviewed it not too long ago. We loved Hokum.
Yes.
I'm actually looking forward to rewatching it.
Same.
Yeah, this was in that little stretch where we just like movie after movie we were loved. And this was right there. One of those movies that it's like I think we both mentioned that really warrants a rewatch, because there's probably stuff that you missed.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to this. Monica hasn't seen it yet. I've told her she needs to watch it. I think she'll enjoy it. So, yeah, very much looking forward to giving a rewatch to Hokum.
Absolutely. Looks like outside of that, we have Iron Lung coming available on YouTube Movies. Again, another one we reviewed not too long ago. And another one I think that would deserve and warrant a rewatch. Lots of fun stuff in that one. Really cool story around the creation. I won't get into all the nitty gritty of it, but obviously we both loved Iron Lung. Mark did fantastic on this movie, and so much that could be so much to say about it, you know.
Yeah, again, another, it's the same thing, right? It's another movie we reviewed we both like. You know, definitely looking forward to rewatching it. And then not only that, if you've caught some of our episodes in recent weeks, I think we did have a pretty little good little discussion about this movie being on YouTube Movies, that
yep.
kind of what we view that process and what we mean. And I think this is a big step for creators. I really do. This is a door that has been opened. And again, anytime they get a platform that they can further utilize, and Iron Lung kind of, because of its success, again, kind of changed some of the rules a little bit. So hopefully not only will they benefit from it, but maybe some future creators as well, because there's a lot of these creators, a lot of people out there directing horror movies particularly, who got their start and were big, you know, big view getters on YouTube. So
oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, it seems to be a good situation with everybody scratching each other's backs, and everybody seems to be benefiting. YouTube ain't no dummy. They didn't get where they were without by making stupid moves. Well, sometimes, but
sometimes. But no, you're 100% correct. YouTube knows that this is there's a lot of money here, and they would be absolute fools for not jumping on it. So it's a good thing that they are, you know, jumping on it and, you know, doing the things that they should be doing versus you know, playing the fool card and just kind of being like, oh, okay, whatever. So absolutely, but I'm very excited for, you know, everything to kind of proliferate from that, and hopefully we'll get some more YouTube movies and stuff like that from creators. And I'd be really happy about that.
Yep. But until then, go rewatch Iron Lung.
Amen. That's very cool. So another little bit of good news here. At a recent convention, Brad Dourif was asked if he would voice Chucky in the new movie in development by Don Mancini. Dourif responded, "Nobody's doing Chucky but me." So obviously, we love Chucky. We love Brad Dourif. Always a good conversation here when we start talking about Chuck. And, you know, we even kind of actually mentioned this the other day. We were kind of talking about the future of the series and, you know, where we thought that they might go with it. And one of the conversations we had was, you know, do we think that Brad Dourif will come back for it? And I think we both felt pretty confident that he would. It was more of a when will they get around to doing it versus would he be interested in doing it? And thankfully, it looks like they are not sitting on their hands and they are getting ready to start doing some production or something on that. We'll have our good old friend Brad Dourif back in the helm. So I'm excited for that.
Yeah. Again, I love that line. Just straight to the point. It is what it is again. And he's dead on right? As long as you can, nobody should, right? It's the only person that I would ever, I think, take in his place would be his daughter.
Yeah.
I think she could do it just like him. But again, I think Doris, if I read right, I think he's pretty much retired from acting for the most part, but doing voice stuff is it's a little different, right?
Yeah. So doing voice work's a lot, I feel like a lot different for, you know, people who are in the industry. Like especially if you're like a normal hardcore actor, voice work is like chump change. You know what I mean? Like it's easier to do comparatively. But obviously there are still, you know, challenges to voice work and everything else. It's just that I think a lot of people agree that it is a little bit easier than the standard, what most people do in terms of acting, but that could just be my approach to it. I don't want to offend nobody.
Well, I mean, you know, you don't have any time. I mean, again, I know he's voicing a character even, but acting wise, you know, you've got makeup, you've got costume, you got all these other things that you have to go through on, you know, you have very long days. You know, if they do this right and they're accommodating, hell, Brad Dourif could roll right out of bed, take a drink, go into another room where they've set up a little studio for him and do his parts at home you know, or whatever, or in a nearby studio or whatever, you know? So again, I don't mean to disrespect, but Brad Dourif, he's an older gentleman, right? He's getting up there. He doesn't have it in him to act anymore. But again, Chucky's his. And yes. And he can do this, right? He can do the voice. And I look forward to what they're, you know, what they're gonna do. Hopefully, you know, I mean, we have him back, but hopefully, you know, we see lots of returning characters. You know, hopefully his daughter will be involved somehow. Because she's amazing too. And I'm excited, right? They said they're gonna make it, you know, they're bringing back the scary aspect. So maybe they won't. Maybe right. So maybe some of the fat will be trimmed off, and we'll get down, you know, have a lean, nice, scary Child's Play movie, which I'm cool with too. So, but this is definitely a very, very positive step.
Yeah. No. Absolutely. So we'll keep an eye out for that, and some more news coming on that front. But for now, we know he's coming back, so we'll see what happens. But all right. Speaking of some fun things, Evil Dead Wrath has wrapped production and is due in theaters April 7th, 2028. It's crazy that they've already wrapped that and it's going to be in theaters next year. And we haven't even gotten Evil Dead Burn yet, which is due in theaters this coming month of July. I think Dave and I are both extremely excited about this movie. And we're both really excited about Evil Dead Burn, even though we've not seen it yet. It's still on the, you know, on the scope here, but absolutely. It's crazy that they've already got the third of the trilogy made. So it just makes me wonder how amazing this next movie is going to be.
I know. I don't care. Give me Evil Dead, whatever. I don't care. Just bring it on. I really don't care. This franchise, I don't know. It never fails to entertain. No matter what they do, they do it right. And I'm looking, you know, Rise was great. So I'm looking forward to Burn. Of course, I'm looking forward to Wrath. And I'm looking forward to, you know, who knows what will happen after that, if anything. You know, I'm guessing the way they work, we'll get a little bit of a break. They know what to do, but I don't care. You can give me Evil Dead, whatever, and I'm going to watch it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Literally Evil Dead, whatever. I will take whatever form or formula of Evil Dead you have. and I will love it. So
that's right.
But all right, good stuff. Keep an eye out for more news about that. But for now, we'll move on to Obsession has earned over $224 million worldwide, which makes it the highest grossing horror movie of 2026 so far. This is not surprising to me. Obsession has gained some acclaim, both, you know, from the internet and just the world at large. And I think that this is well deserved. I think that Obsession was a very well-made movie, another movie that I want to go back and rewatch. And I think this was a sleeper success. I don't think that even the production crew were anticipating success at this metric. And it's insane that, again, the guy who made this, Curry Barker, was also a former YouTuber and from that sphere. So, yeah, I loved the session. The session was amazing. I think most people would agree with that sentiment. I know Dave does.
Yep.
But yeah, it's crazy. Highest grossing movie of the year thus far.
Yeah, don't hold me to it. But again, if we were literally right now off the top of our heads, had to come up with our favorite movies of the year, Obsession would probably be my favorite so far. Just off the top of my head, I loved it. Cannot wait to rewatch it again. And what makes this even cooler to me is, I mean, we're talking a year where we've had sequels, right? We had a Scream movie and other things. And this is in its own movie, its own story. It's not part of a pre-existing franchise. It's not, you know, this is their own thing. And here they are. I love that, because more than likely now what we're doing is Obsession. We've talked about the possibilities for Obsession and what they can do. And they've discussed, right? Probably will be a sequel, but there could also be a series. There could also be, who knows, right? Graphic novels, they can do whatever they want around the One Wish Willow being the centerpiece. When you earn $224 million and you're the highest grossing horror movie, it opens all those doors. You're going to have avenues, right? He's pretty much going to get to do what he wants. Whatever direction he wants to do, however he wants to take this franchise, he gets to do it. And the great thing is they pretty much steal the fact that it will probably become a franchise now.
Yes.
And I'm down for it, because again, there's so much you can do, because the centerpiece, yes, the actors were great, the story was great, but the centerpiece is the Willow, the One Wish Willow. You can do whatever you want with that, right? You can tell endless numbers of stories of people that have these. You can tell, we've talked about the story of the people behind it. Who the hell are they calling? Right? Who are those people? Where did this come from? Tell us a little backstory. They could do so much with this universe. And it's exciting to me that here you have something, it's a new development, had this much success, and it's, you know, I'm excited to see what they do from here.
Absolutely. I'm very excited to see the future of the Obsession universe. Very excited to see his vision, Curry Barker's vision of what comes next. And, you know, I think we'll be hearing something from him sooner rather than later. I think that he is itching to do something else, just from everything that I've seen. And I think that it's going to be great. I think we have a generational talent on our hands, and I don't think that he's going to take that position lightly. So
yeah,
but very good. Hopefully Obsession will be rolling around to streaming very soon, but until then, we do have some unfortunate news to share. But Anthony Head, who played Rupert Giles in the Buffy the Vampire series, did pass away on June 5th at the age of 72. You know, our thoughts are, of course, with him and his family. But any lovers of the Buffy the Vampire Slayer knows this guy, knows this character. And it is, you know, it's always unfortunate when people pass, but it's always a little more unfortunate when it's somebody that you revere or see in the TV sphere. And, you know, but in any case, it is, we were actually talking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer not too long ago, because we were talking about the failed reboot of the Shusa series.
Oh, yeah. 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 Again, I love Buffy, but I'm going to tag in here for a moment, because Monica just strolled into the room. And we haven't had any of the wives on in a while, but Monica is, she's an OG Buffy fan from when it originally aired. So let's let Monica chime in a little here on the death of Anthony Head.
So yeah, I am a complete OG Buffy fan. I watched it from the premiere all the way through to the finale. And it hit hard. He was my watcher. So, I think it also, I don't know if you read, but he passed away 6 months after his longtime partner passed away. So, my heart goes out to the family and to everyone who loved him, because I didn't know him, but I loved him. So, yeah, and it's kind of fun to watch all the new Buffy fans experiencing it for the first time. All these years later, it still resonates. I definitely appreciate you guys adding him. I know typically you do movies, but and the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie kind of sucked like balls. So yeah, but I highly recommend people who have not watched the series to absolutely watch it. There will be times, there were moments in that series that, like, to this day just can break me. So, and they came up, it was Buffy that came up with the Silence episode that has been used so many times in more current movies. So it was pretty cool. So watch Buffy, check out Anthony Head and Sarah Michelle Gellar, and we lost Nicholas Brendan as well. So, oh, and
Yeah, we did.
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Yep. I was
So
gonna say, I know she was in it too.
yeah. So anyway, on that note, you guys have a great podcast.
Thanks. But yeah, no, it is crazy though with the whole Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I feel like we've seen a lot of people drop from that series, and it's actually crazy.
Yeah, especially all within a short period, it seems like too. So, everybody keep an eye on Sarah Michelle Gellar.
I was gonna say.
Somebody put a security detail on her.
I just say, I'm sure she got it. She's like, I'm on top of her, you guys, don't worry.
Yeah.
But no, that is unfortunate though. But obviously our hearts go out to all Buffy fans, and of course Anthony Head's family. It's very unfortunate, but we will persevere, and hopefully we I don't know, maybe this will inspire somebody to try and get the whole reboot back up and running. I think that would be really good in their memory.
We'll see. I don't
Yeah, we'll
know.
see. But for now, I say we will go ahead and keep on rolling on. We have some upcoming birthdays here for us. We'll start from the top at June 11th, 1945. Adrienne Barbeau, known for her roles, of course, in The Fog and Creepshow. Adrienne Barbeau is a one of those names that you hear and you're like, oh yeah, I've definitely seen her in a movie before. Even if it's not someone that had as illustrious of a career of like Jamie Lee Curtis, she still was from that same generation and still did such great work. So it's always fun to think on and remember those roles that she did.
Yeah. She was, I mean, again, a great, especially within the 80s, and stuff. So, yeah, happy birthday to her. I think she's one of the queens,
Oh yeah.
totally. And speaking of, I think the next one we kind of got a modern queen.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think this is all of these are kind of except for the last one. Well, you might still be able to use that for years, I don't know. But June 14th of 1994, we have Lauren Lovera, of course, known for her role as Sienna in the Terrifier franchise. Yeah, Lauren Lovera is fantastic. She's one of those characters that a lot of people kind of really resonated with. I feel like her portrayal of Sienna in the series has been really great. A lot of fans love her character. I know that anytime she goes to conventions and stuff, she is of course a fan favorite, and she deserves it. She's a very good actress, and she has the final girl mentality, and I think that she does a really good job at pushing that envelope and doing what she does best.
Yeah, and she's Yeah, she's starting to show up in a lot of other things too. She's starting to get more and more work,
Oh, yeah.
which is always cool to see. And I don't know, she's one of those I just see I see a breakthrough for her at some point. I really do. I think she's doing these great projects, but at some point I think she's going to land a big role. And then the whole world will see what those of us have seen already.
Yeah, absolutely. But fantastic. I love to see it. Happy birthday, Lauren. And speaking of Scream Queens, we have another one, I think, that I would call her a 90s Scream Queen for sure.
Sure, yeah.
But June 15th, 1964, we have Courtney Cox, of course known for her role as Gale Weathers and the Scream franchise. I mean, she obviously had a little bit of a different a little bit of a different role comparatively, but I mean she still did the screaming. She was still there. She was in Scream. And Courtney Cox is a very beloved character who continues to show up even today as a legacy character in the series. So it's always good to see. And I have a feeling she's going to be in the next one too. But I don't know. I just have a feeling that Gale Weathers' time in the series is short.
Yeah, I think is she the only character that's appeared in every Scream movie?
I think so. I think she's the only
Yeah.
character who has appeared in all Scream movies from the legacy movies, because obviously we had the whole rigmarole with Neve Campbell, of course, where she was being unfairly treated, and she stood up for herself, rightfully so. And then obviously the studio realized that, okay, well, we're being a bunch of morons. We need to rekindle here and try and get that relationship back. But yeah, I think Gale Weathers is the only character who has been in all of the movies, which is actually crazy to think about.
I think it's time. Let's make Gail the killer.
Yep, make her the killer or the killie.
Yeah, it's time.
But very good. Happy birthday to our Gale Weathers, Courtney Cox. Or if you ask Monica, that is Monica from Friends. I
That's
know
Monica, yeah.
that's her favorite, one of her favorite TV series of all time. And I know she likes Courtney Cox in that show. So
Yeah, or if you ask certain people, she's the girl that Bruce Springsteen put on the crowd in the Dancing in the Dark video.
that's right. But
I don't know what else she's been in. Those are the only things
I was gonna
that
say, wasn't she in a show called like Cougar Town or something like that?
Oh yeah, something like that. I don't
But
know what that was.
I don't really, I've not really seen her much else other than Scream and Friends. So.
Yeah, I'm sure she's done things, but I've just not crossed. I don't know.
Same.
I've seen lots of her in Screaming Friends, but otherwise, I don't know. I'm sure she's got plenty of work. She,
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. She
but
probably got an IMDb list longer than, longer than the book of Revelations,
not like it matters. She's still making that friend's money. What is she doesn't need to do anything. She didn't want to.
No, she could literally never act again in her life and she'd be perfectly fine.
Right. Thankfully, she is though.
No, yes, thankfully so. But we've talked a lot about Scream Queens, and perhaps he is a Scream Queen. I don't know. But June 17th, 1966, we have Jason Patrick, of course, for known for his role as Michael in The Lost Boys, another iconic role and an iconic film, and one of Dave's favorites.
It is. Absolutely. Love this movie. Love Jason Patrick in it. Such a great movie. Again, I'm not going to go on that tangent again. Everybody knows it, the best vampire movie of all time. Hands down. No offense to any of the others. This is the coolest of all. And we got to see Jason Patrick at Pensacon at a panel, at a Lost Boys panel. He was part of that.
Yep, he sure was.
That was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, I was gonna say he was pretty cool. It was pretty neat to see him up there, and then of course we get to talk about him today a little bit. And
Yeah.
it's unique. It's unique to being able to say, "Hey, I saw that guy in person."
Yeah. Such a, I don't know. Again, he was so good in the movie. Just perfect in that role. And
Yeah.
yeah, I could talk forever about Lost Boys, but I'm not, so just go watch it.
There you go. But chugging right along, we have our birthday, or not birthdays, our movie anniversaries, and we got some good stuff in here. We're going to start with June 12th, 1968, Rosemary's Baby, a classic of the horror universe. I've been reading a book. It's called Scream With Me by Eleanor Johnson. It is a look at some of the seminal works over the years of horror, and how they are not just products of their time, but they are really, social commentaries. You know, we talk about Dawn of the Dead being a harsh criticism of capitalism, and just of consumerism in general. But
This Rosemary's Baby is big on feminism, isn't it?
You can kind of tell, but when I read this book, like, it honestly, my brain was blown.
Yeah.
So Rosemary's Baby, oftentimes, and even if you look at the original book and story that it's based off of, is about basically abortion. It is about a woman whose personal agency is taken away from her, and she is essentially forced into having the son of of the devil, son of Satan, you know. And yeah, I mean, Rosemary's Babies is certainly a classic. I mean, it is one of those movies that you could go back and watch and you say, wow, this is fantastic. And even the prequel, Apartment 7A, I believe it was, fantastic. And that also has Julia Garner, I think it was, from Weapons, who, you know, and she's also the Silver Surfer in Fantastic Four. But no, she's fantastic in the 7A, and but really, though, I mean, it's such a good movie, and I've not watched it in so many years. I need to go back and watch it.
It's definitely, to me, it's one of those movies that's on the, I don't believe in the gatekeeping. You have to watch certain things, but I feel like if you're a horror fan, there's just certain movies that you should do yourself the favor of going back and watching, so you can know. First of all, they're great movies. Second of all, just so you can see kind of where horror came from, right? Some of the development, the stages. And I think this is definitely one of those. I think this is one of the landmark films in horror history.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I definitely think this is one of those. This should be required watching, just for the purpose of not only the what it means as a film and some of the ulterior meanings that it does have, but also because really, I mean, Rosemary's Baby is the start of like possession movies and body horror and. You know, some of the tropes that we see kind of take effect in movies like The Exorcist and even longer, you know, the Conjuring movies and things like that.
Great movie.
Absolutely. But, all
Speaking of
right.
great movies, oof, oof,
Speaking
oof.
of great movies, enough about Rosemary's Baby. Let's talk about Maniac Cop
That's right.
2, released June 13th, 1991. I've seen the first one. I need to go in and watch the sequels, but Maniac Cop's just a fun movie. Lots of B horror fun right there.
That's right. Love the Maniac Cop movies. Love them, love them, love them. Sit down, I can watch all three together, and I don't know what it is about these movies, but it just hits everything I love with with horror movies, a little camp, a little whatever you want to call it. I don't know what it is. All my favorite movies have these same elements, and this fits right in with them. But love the Maniac Cop movies. I don't know. For whatever reason, it blows my mind just a bit that like the sequels were into the 90s. I don't know why. I don't know. They just feel like they were all 80s movies to me, but I mean, 91's not that far removed, but still. Just a fun movie. Fun movie. Everybody needs to watch it. Again, watch it with a different eye than you watch Rosemary's Baby. Don't watch this expecting you're going to see some groundbreaking masterpiece. Just fucking get yourself a drink, some popcorn, sit down, watch it, and have fun. Because it's such a fun
Oh
movie.
yeah. No, this is no Rosemary's Baby, but it is still a fun film. And all of them are fun to their own degree. So, but yes, so check that out this weekend. I'm pretty sure it's on Tubi. I think all the Maniac Cop movies are on Tubi for free, so no reason not to watch them. Very good. We're going to jump now to June 14th of 1985. We have The Stuff. I've never seen this movie, so Dave, you will have to give us some insight onto The Stuff.
Again, cheesy 80s horror. There's a substance that comes out that becomes all the rage, like a food rage. The food rage. It's kind of a, I don't know what you want to describe it, an ice creamy whipped cream. I don't know. It's the stuff. Becomes all the rage, and it's got side effects.
Gotcha. Well, I'll have to check it out because I love a movie called The Stuff.
Yes, fun movie. Very
good.
I say that a lot, but that's what I, you know, that's what I look for in a movie. Fun.
Right. Is it fun? Absolutely. I 100% agree. But, well, speaking of fun, but also legendary, we have, of course, June 16th, 1960, Psycho. This is the OG slasher film, and obviously we love Psycho here. It is easily one of the most important movies of the horror genre, perhaps ever made.
Yeah, if you're again for watching, you know, that Horror 101 watch list, Rosemary's Baby's on it. Psycho is definitely on it.
Oh yeah.
Everybody should watch Psycho. I think it's a great movie. I think it stands up to me. But again, so many elements that's just part of pop culture from that movie, right? That, you know, even if you haven't seen it or whatever, people know parts of it. Like they know the shower stuff. They know that music. They know, most people even know the general story of Norman Bates. I mean, it's, you know, it's so embedded in pop culture now.
No, it absolutely is, and like you said, I mean, people know stuff about this movie and have never seen it. Even my wife, who has never seen Psycho and will likely never watch the show or the movie, I should say, she even knows quite a bit about the tropes that it has, you know. And we talked about in that movie, for instance, she knows that they use chocolate syrup for blood because it was black and white and it looked good. But yeah, absolutely. It's actually crazy to think that there are some people who've never seen it but know quite a bit about it.
Sorry,
But
everybody should watch it though.
oh, absolutely, absolutely. But very good. And we have one more anniversary this week. We have June 17th, 1977. Exorcist II, The Heretic. I've never seen this movie, but I've heard actually really good things about it, despite it being a sequel to a previously made. Of course, The Exorcist is iconic, but Exorcist 2, The Heretic, has been heralded as a extremely good sequel to that movie.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it has Linda Blair in it again and everything. Yeah, it's pretty good, right? I mean, a lot of it's not the Exorcist, it's not quite to me that level, but it's, yeah, it's pretty solid. I haven't seen it in forever. I haven't watched any of the Exorcist movies in forever, outside some of the newer ones. What we got? Didn't we get an Exorcist movie not too long ago?
Yeah, it's just a believer,
Believe
right?
it, yeah, outside of that one, so. So yeah, I think so I'll have to do an Exorcist rewatch through the franchise.
Yeah, I think so. It's been a long time, but I think I need to go back and watch some of those and get a little bit of an update on those. I don't think I've seen the second one. I weirdly enough, I've seen the third movie of the Extra series, but it was just on a whim. And then I think there's more than even that, so. Very good. We will go ahead and move on from our anniversaries. And we have one upcoming release. We have Find Your Friends coming to Shudder on June 12th. And it is described as Amber and her friends visit Joshua Tree for a fun girls' trip, but face hostility from locals. As tensions escalate and Amber's dark past surfaces, their rebellion ignites, turning their desert getaway into a game of revenge. We will be reviewing this movie next episode. Blah. Yeah, I think this is going to be a good one. I think that Shudder tends to have the good stuff, and I think that this is going to be one of the good things. I think this sounds interesting enough, and we'll see what Shudder has to give us.
That's right. And it's always those damn locals. Damn locals causing trouble. Just don't like the outsiders. But no, it's yeah, that sounds fun. I'm curious to see it. And yeah, we'll talk all about it in next episode.
Absolutely. But all right, we are going to go ahead and without further ado, we will take a break. And when we come back, we will have our double review of The Backrooms and Exit 8. Stick around.
This is Wrestling Nostalgia, the podcast that dives into wrestling history. Hey, wrestling fans, I'm Dave Dynasty. And if you enjoy podcasts that are knowledgeable and history-driven, then Wrestling Nostalgia is for you. With great guests and fun interviews, there are over 200 episodes in our archives. We chat with several first-time guests and often cover topics not discussed on other podcasts. Look up Wrestling Nostalgia on your favorite podcast platform and visit all of our links at linktree.com/wrasslpod. That is linktr.ee/rasslpod. POD. And remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, be good, be safe, and keep on growing. All right, we're back. It is review time. We have two of them. We will not take forever on these, but hopefully you guys go and see these movies wherever they're available. First, we're going to talk about Backrooms, written by Will Sudeik and Kane Parsons, directed by Kane Parsons, starring, I don't know, you know, Chiwetel Ejiofor. I butchered that name. Renee Renzif, Mark Duplass, and others. Totally. I got Mark Duplass right. Anyway, this was released May 29th in theaters and grossed $81,402,424 domestically on opening weekend. Good for number one. And Ike, my understanding, Backrooms began life as a creepypasta. Is that correct?
Yeah, creepypasta adjacent. It was just basically a picture of a kind of an odd looking back room at a furniture store. And I think it was like Wisconsin or something like that.
Yeah, and there you go. So, and again, I'm not going to go long on this, but these type of movies are typically, right, not usually in the wheelhouse for a guy my age, typically, right? It just, but I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. You don't even really have to know anything about the backstory, the creepypasta, this, that, the games, or whatever there are. You don't have to know any of that stuff. The movie does a well enough job of, you know, telling you what's going on. There's not much more to say about it, I don't think, and their setup to it. But this movie, man, it made me very tense, and you know, and played on a lot of the fears that I have in life. It was just very creepy, and I think part of it is some of that. It's like I'm old enough that I have been in rooms that remind me of that, you know, when I was a kid going places, there'd be, not saying these, you know, whatever secret back rooms are, but there'd be parts of places or stores or whatever that had that vibe, that look, that coloring, that lighting. So it's like, I feel like I've been to places like that. And then, you know, so then your mind start playing tricks of, oh, well, were you there? Were you, you know, was there a secret door? You know, you think stupid shit, but, yeah, I thought this was a really fun movie. I enjoyed it a lot. I loved the one kid, whatever he was. I don't know if he worked at the store or if he was just the one employee's boyfriend who always did the camera work. He was a fucking goofball. But yeah, I really, surprisingly, I think I enjoyed Backrooms. I didn't think it was going to be something for me. I was really afraid that I wouldn't get it. You know, I would be lost in it. But I thought it was very well done. Now, again, I don't know, and you can say, how it delivers on the side of someone who knows a little more and has seen some of this. If they still, if for you, they did deliver that same vibe and feel as the other Backroom stuff.
Yeah, I do think that it did. I think for me, going into this, I do have a little bit of that extra background knowledge about like what the Backrooms are, where they kind of come from as a story, as a literary device. You know, the Backrooms are this kind of interesting, you know, amalgamation of lost memories and familiar spaces that you just can't quite remember correctly. You know, from the Kane Parsons, or the Kane Pixels, as he's known on YouTube, from his stuff that he did, to some of the other extended lore, I think this movie did a fantastic job about living up to that lore and living up to that story. The movie was beautifully done. You know, they obviously had to use some CGI, of course, because some of this would have been impossible to do practically. But if still, you know, we had Kane Parsons stepping in and doing really a fantastic job at setting up this film and really bringing his story to life. You know, I think my only criticism to it is that I wanted more. Truly, I finished that movie and I was like, man, I want more already. Like I want more. I need to know more. You know, and that was really my big thing, is I just wanted more. But of course, I think this movie did a really good job financially. So I think that we will probably get more. I think this movie is so open-ended, and that's one of the beautiful things about the Backrooms too, is that there is so much ambiguity to the Backrooms that you can damn well near do anything in the back rooms, and it would make sense because who can say what is and isn't in the back rooms, you know? So I had an extremely fun time with this one. I love the movie so much. And another one of the movies that, again, I need to watch again because I had to have missed something somewhere. Like, it's one of those movies that there's so much stuff happening in the background that you had to have missed something. So, yeah, I will stop rambling, but loved it. They did a fantastic job, and I cannot wait for it to come to streaming. I want some special features or something.
Okay. I'm sure there's plenty of stuff. And like you said, with the success it had, I no doubt there'll be something else come from this. So, all right, then. Let's rate Backrooms real quick. Again, I liked it. I don't know that I'd put it up on the pedestal that I put some movies on, but I'm giving Backrooms a very, very, very strong 3.5 out of 4, or out of 5, excuse me. I don't think, just for me, I can quite give it a 4. It didn't strike me that way. I didn't have that connection to it or whatever, but it was very good. So it would be a 3.5, but if I was leaning one way or another, it's leaning more towards the 4 side than the 3 side. So, Ike, what are you rating it?
I am going to have to give it a 4 out of 5. This movie really did it for me. I think that they did a fantastic job, and I cannot sing the praises of the film any more than, you know, I have, but truly, it was a phenomenal movie, and I simply just cannot wait for it to come out and so I can watch it again. But yeah, 4 out of 5 for me.
All right, then on to our second review. It is Exit 8, written by Kentaro Hirase, Jinki Karanura, excuse me, based on a video game by Kotake Creed, directed by Jinki Karanura. God, I'm so bad with the names today. There we go. Let's try this one now. Starring Kazunari Ninomiya, Yamato Kochi, and others. This movie had a limited theatrical release on April 10th and grossed $1,435,789 domestically on opening weekend, which was good for number 8. And it is now available video on demand. Again, Exit 8, it was a fun movie. I liked it. You know, it gave you, again, breaking down to raw emotion, it's the same kind of emotion. It's striking the same emotions as Backrooms, right? And to me, it is a frustrating movie to watch, not because it's a bad movie, but it's because that being trapped, not finding the exit, not finding Exit 8, right? Or whatever. That unnerves me. I hate that, right? I that would be just a terror for me to feel trapped like that. The movie had much, I'm not, you know, I won't go into it. It had much deeper elements and meanings, things happening in it. When early on you're really wondering what is this? It doesn't make much sense, but then it does. It makes perfect sense once the story develops. So they do a really good job of that. Again, it was a great movie, fun movie, but I don't know, you know, not, it was a fun movie. Not as strong as Backrooms, not as strong as some of the movies we've seen recently, but still a movie that I think people should see because it is enjoyable. I don't have a lot of critiques of it. I like my movies with maybe a little more terror than this. Yes, there was tension. Yes, there were some things. But I get that there was more, they were telling a bigger story than just that. So, but I did enjoy it. So, Ike, what'd you think of Exit 8?
Yeah. So, you know, for Exit 8, I have seen the video game. I've never played it, but I've watched other people play it. And I think there's even like a short story that someone made about it, I believe, or something like that. But, Exit 8 was pretty solid. You know, I enjoyed it. I think that it didn't depart terribly from the lore of the game. Obviously, the game itself doesn't have a shit ton of lore. It's a pretty linear it's a pretty linear story that it's told in such a fashion in the games that I think that it was potentially going to be hard to translate it to the screen, but I think they did a really good job. You know, I think that, I think that really when you look at video game adaptations, a lot of times they're looking at these big budget video games, your Resident Evils and, your God of Wars and stuff like that. They're looking at those games to try and get them onto the screen. But somebody really took a chance with Exit 8 because Exit 8 was a indie developed game that just kind of came out of nowhere, and they took their chance on it, and I think that they did a pretty solid job. I would like to see somebody else take a shot at it and maybe expand the lore of the universe, but what they did was great, and I personally think that Exit 8 is sort of a what I would say, it's like an allegory for purgatory or something like that, where they're being tested because of something that they did, and watch the movie, it'll make sense. But I think that they did some really cool practical effects. I think that they did some really neat shots that you wouldn't have been able to do in a normal film. And yeah, I think over under is that this was a really solid movie that had really good acting, had a really good story. And like you said, I think there was a lot more to be told about the story and about what was happening that, another movie that I think could reuse a rewatch, especially after you've seen the ending, which I'm not going to spoil for anybody, but the ending obviously gives you a little bit of a nod at, well, maybe there is a little something more to this. So
Yes.
I'll leave it at that.
Yes. There you go. So Exit 8, rating this thing. Again, I liked it. Not as much as Backrooms, not as much as, so I'm giving Exit 8, I'm giving, again, it's a strong, but I'm gonna give it a 3. It's a strong 3. I mean, I would watch it again, but I would be more inclined. I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch, I would watch Backrooms first. So there's other movies I would watch more. So if I give Backrooms a 3.5, Exit 8 for me is just a 3 out of 5 screams. Ike, what are you rating Exit 8?
I would rate it a 3.5 out of 5. I do think that it was a slightly better movie than just your standard run-of-the-mill horror film that we've been watching lately. So a little bit better than a 3, but not quite a 4. I don't think this is quite up to the level of The Backrooms, but this is still a solid, good movie that I encourage everyone to go out and watch, especially if you like the video game. So 3.5 out of 5.
All right, so that is it for the reviews, for this episode at least, because next episode we'll be back and we will be reviewing Find Your Friends, which is coming to Shudder. Before we get out of here, we'd like to say thank you to the wives and all of you listeners and followers for all of your support. Again, our 200th episode, we would not have gotten here without all of you guys. So hopefully a lot of you have been along for the ride for a while, but if you're new, welcome. There's a lot of stuff in the back in the archives, if you wanna give it a listen, just go through that door over there on the wall, paint that's taped on the wall. You'll find the archives. You trust me, there's plenty there. You'll get lost in it. So anyway, yeah, the 200th episode, guys. Thank you again for all the support and getting us here. Hopefully, you enjoy what we do because we enjoy doing it. To help us out, make sure you subscribe to us on social media. We're on pretty much any platform. Just search for "Listen to Their Screams" or "Listen the number 2 in Screams." Also, make sure you subscribe to us on whatever platform you're listening to us on for the podcast, and give us a rating and review because that helps us in those algorithms. And well, everybody loves a good algorithm. And but that way, if someone else is listening to a similar podcast, we come up as a suggested listen, and maybe we'll catch their eye with our beaming picture of us smiling. I mean, who's going to resist that? So give us a rating and review before we get out of here, Ike. Anything you want to add?
Oh, I wanted to add because I almost forgot, but last week was my wife Kayla's birthday, so I wanted to wish her a happy birthday, late birthday in this case, for the 5th.
Oh
And
yeah,
yeah, we all got to celebrate together and have some fun, so
that's
that
right. We
was a good
didn't
time.
have an episode that week, so we didn't get to say it on the. I forgot. Yeah.
No, yeah, but yeah, so I just want to throw that out there, and as always, for those of you out there's so much stuff going on right now in the horror universe. It is the perfect that time to either go out to the theaters or check out Shudder, Screambox,
Yeah, it's.
or any of these other streaming services that have a horror product on it. But man, just keep supporting horror. That's all we can do.
Yeah, it's so wild because I feel like you can just spend a day or two just watching trailers for upcoming stuff. There's just like, it seems like every day there's new teasers and trailers and new posters and shot. It's remarkable. It's so amazing. And it's because people are turning out and these movies, I mean, horror, I don't think it's a stretch for me to say horror right now, I think it's probably keeping the film industry afloat. Maybe it's an over-exaggeration. Maybe it's an oversimplification, but I'm sorry. Every horror movie that comes out is performing. Every horror movie that comes out is drawing big. Obsession, big ass numbers. I mean, Backrooms, big ass numbers. I mean, even Exit 8 comes out in a limited release, and it's the number 8 movie that week. I mean, every horror movie performs. So that's because of all of us wonderful people who love this stuff and love go out and see it. So yeah, go see everything. If it's a horror movie, go see it. Support it in theaters. Support it on the streaming services. Support it in physical media too. Physical media is making a nice comeback. Let's keep that rolling because I love that. So just support it, people. Just support it and support us. We appreciate that. So, all right, then. Let's close out. Again, 200 done. It's March on to 201 when we will review Find Your Friends. That's the next episode. Until then, though, wherever you go and whatever you do, be good, be safe, and have many pleasant nightmares.